Attention this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're just going to read a few verses there in the fifth chapter. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, the Bible says, "Rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, the holidays have come and gone. It's hard to believe January is halfway over. November and December are crazy busy months for all of us, and we tend to get caught up in the attitude and the spirit of the holidays, I suppose. But it doesn't take long for us after the first of the year, once resolutions have been made and some quickly forgotten, for us to settle into the pattern and routine of the way things were prior to the holidays. And we get caught up in our busy lives, and they are indeed very busy for all of us. And we tend to forget some of the feelings and experiences and, I suppose, promises that we made to ourselves and others during that busy time of November and December. And this morning, what I would like to do is to focus on Thanksgiving. To focus on what the Bible has to say about Thanksgiving and to talk about things for which we should be thankful. And for me, this is really a deeply personal lesson. Because when you think about this idea of Thanksgiving, and we're going to talk about this more here in just a few minutes, it really requires reflection and inner inspection, I suppose, on our own parts in order to determine for what we should be thankful and why. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about this passage here in 1 Thessalonians and what prompted the apostle to say what he said. And then we're going to talk about some things for which we should be thankful. Before we get into the study, though, we want to approach our Father in a word of prayer. Back in 1619, a small group of settlers made their way to what we now know as the United States of America, a land of opportunity and seeming boundless resources. And as this small group of settlers began to organize themselves, they developed a charter. And in that charter, they determined by what laws and guidelines they should live in order that they could have an organized and civilized society. And within that charter, they included the requirement that every year they would have an annual day of reflection and remembrance, a day that was dedicated toward them offering thanksgiving to God. That was over 400 years ago. President George Washington, President Abraham Lincoln, President Delano Roosevelt, all reflected on that original charter and established a day within this nation that we should set aside, now we know as Thanksgiving Day. And for nearly 80 years, it's been held on the fourth Thursday in the month of November, and it is that day in which we as Americans gather together, we're with friends and family, and we think about all those things, hopefully, for which we are thankful. But it's not an American concept. It's not a contemporary concept, this idea of reflection and thankfulness. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks." The same is echoed over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, where we are commanded to be thankful. In everything give thanks. This would necessarily infer that we think about where we are, and perhaps where we have been, and we reflect on our own lives and the lives of those around us whom we love. And we think about the favors and blessings that we enjoy. And the things which we've been given, which we often certainly do not deserve. As I said, for me, this is a lesson that is deeply personal. And I hope that as I talk about some of these things, you yourself will reflect on things similar in your own life. That you yourself will reflect on where you've been, where you are now, perhaps where you would like to be, and realize that you haven't gotten here by yourself. You know, we have to attribute where we are and what we do, if it's good and right, to someone other than ourselves, and that certainly would have to be God. As I talk about these things, I readily recognize that some of them are deeply personal. Some of them perhaps may be unique to me, but I think overall most of these are fairly generic and apply in some way, shape, or form to all of us here in the audience this morning. And can certainly, hopefully, be appreciated and understood by everyone. They're not listed necessarily in the order of importance or chronologically or their impact on my life. As I put this list together, and granted it was many years ago, many things have changed since then. There have been things on this list that no longer apply. People on this list that are no longer with us. But since that time, there have been new things added. New blessings, which I've enjoyed. So I hope for the next few minutes, you'll allow me to just reflect and express to you and share with you some of the many things for which I'm thankful. The first one on my list is family and my wife. Next week, we'll have been together almost 40 years. That seems hard to believe that anyone could put up with me for 40 years. Dennis is nodding his head, yes. In the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter, the 10th through the 12th verse, talks about the importance and the impact of a virtuous woman on one's life. And indeed, I have been impacted. I'm thankful for my children. In Psalms 127, chapter in the 3rd verse, it talks about what a wonderful blessing children are in our lives. And now, I'm thankful for grandchildren. And granted, my kids are not perfect. They've learned from me, I've learned from them. But I love them. And every day, I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for my granddaughters. And I know not what their future holds, but I hope and pray that somehow, some way, I can be a positive influence on that. And each and every day I think about that. I'm thankful for my job. In the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter in the 18th verse, the Bible says, as God was speaking to Adam, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. And since that time, jobs and labor have been an inseparable aspect of the human existence. But you know what? I'm thankful for work. I'm thankful for the purpose of a job. The book of Proverbs has many passages that talk about the importance of labor, but as you read those passages, if you read it from the right perspective, you also see that it extols the virtues of hard work and honest work. And labor. And whether it's physical or mental labor, because not everybody is out there digging ditches and not everybody is an accountant, we all have our special talents. We should be thankful for the opportunity to work, to be constructive, to be productive, and to use whatever talents or education or abilities, many of which may be specific to us, to make the lives of ourselves and our loved ones and others that much better. I'm thankful for material things. Now, to some, this may seem inappropriate, but You know, the Bible tells us we should be thankful for things. In fact, the Scriptures teach in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, God giveth us all things richly to enjoy. We have homes, we have cars, we have clothing. We have little artifacts within our home that may mean something to us, mementos, so on and so forth. I'm thankful for the material things with which I have been blessed. So many things that I know I could live without. But I recognize that happiness does not come from those things. In fact, studies have shown that have been made of people in Europe, people in the United States, people in third world countries, that regardless of the level or the amount, rather, of possessions one may own, that happiness is not derived from those things. And individuals in third world and depressed nations often have a level of peace and contentment with their own existence that matches or at times exceeds those with the greatest amount of money within this country. All one has to do is go through a grocery store checkout line, see the tabloids and the racks there, and see the misery that many wealthy people live with each and every day. Much of it, no doubt, self-made. So we recognize that happiness and contentment do not come from worldly things, but for those material things with which I have been blessed, for which I've earned and worked for, many of which I, again, readily admit I do not deserve, I am certainly thankful. And I have to ask myself this question, or perhaps you have too, why in the world are we in the United States as American citizens as blessed as we are? I don't know. But God has seen fit to allow this country to experience and to have access to those things. Another thing for which I am thankful, and I've thought about this a lot over the last couple of days, is the creativity of God. You think about the variety in our lives by which we are surrounded. Something as simple as food. Think about that. All the different tastes and textures and spices and flavors and subtle nuances of food that we enjoy each and every day. It didn't have to be that way, but God saw fit to give us variety in our dietary intake. Now, I'm not a big animal person. Not that I dislike animals, but I am not a big animal person. But I have to admit there are many times that I've mused over the fact and wondered if animals think about the fact that they eat the same thing each and every day. The cow in the field chewing grass, the dog in the house eating the same bowl of food every time. And I wonder, do they realize what they're missing out of? But we as humans, God has seen fit to give us a bounty, a variety in taste and flavors. For that, I'm certainly thankful. Plants and animals and even the heavens themselves, the landscape of this land in which we live. God has given us all these wonderful things, and for His creativity and His variety, I'm truly thankful. Even for the personalities of different people. You think about how rich our lives are because of the creativity of those that God has blessed this earth with. Men and women that are artists and that are singers and that are performers and that are authors and writers and sculptors and all these various things that God has blessed them with these wonderful talents, and we get to enjoy it with no labor or input on our part. I'm thankful for God's creativity. I'm thankful for this country in which I live. Why I was allowed to be born in the United States of America, I do not know. But I have freedoms and liberties that many within this world do not get to enjoy. And we, a relatively small population of some 330 million, as compared to the nearly 7 billion people that exist on the face of the earth, live better than just about anybody anywhere on the planet. And I get to be a part of that. I don't know why, but I guarantee you I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for today's technology. You know, you hear the phrase, the good old days, every once in a while. Usually that's talked about by those that are up in years, long in the tooth, as it were, as they used to say. And you would hear the phrase, well, I think about the good old days. But, you know, folks had to work pretty hard back then, drawing water from wells, defending themselves from wild beasts. Travel was primitive. Communication sometimes non-existent, but yet we have everything at our fingertips. Medicine, how crude it was just a century ago. But now we have the opportunities for all these technological advances. We have these many wonderful blessings that God has allowed mankind to discover and to create. And for those I am truly thankful. Were it not for technology and advances in science and medicine, one of my children would not be alive today. I would not be able to communicate and be with my family as readily as I can, and we are spread out all over the United States. I am truly thankful. You know, I'm thankful for trials. I'm going to switch gears here just a little bit and get away from the tangible and go to the intangible. I'm thankful for trials, for those hard times and sometimes tragedies that are difficult to endure and at the time even more difficult to appreciate. And the appreciation for trials and tragedies often doesn't come until months or years or perhaps even decades later. This is indeed deeply personal and unique to each individual here because all of us have faced trials. All of us have dealt with tragedies. All of us have endured hardships that were specific to us and to our existence. Some fared well than others. Some came out of it better than others. Some, their hopes and their prayers were answered in the way that they wanted, and others not. It may be and may take much time to pass before we see the benefits of the trials and tragedies that we encounter in our lives. But at some point in time, we are going to be able to reflect and see something positive, whether it be a lesson that we've learned or something that's caused us to improve our lives in one way, shape, or form. But I'm thankful for those trials. I'm thankful for the church, for that spiritual haven that I get to enjoy. I'm thankful for that body, which is the body of Christ, the body of the redeemed, the body of the saved, the body of the sanctified, the body of the forgiven. The body that was purchased by the blood of Christ. The body that's awaiting presentation to God on the coming judgment day. And I'm a part of that. I'm thankful for forgiveness. Because I've done a lot of foolish things. I'm thankful for forgiveness from God and the way in which it was made possible through obedience to the gospel of Christ and by the shed blood of Christ. But I'm also thankful for forgiveness from others. for people that realize that I'm just a person and I'm prone to make mistakes. And should I go to them and apologize for some thing that maybe I overlooked or some careless action that I did? Something that I've said that perhaps was wrong or said out of anger, said in the right way or in the wrong way rather or at the wrong time, and they forgive me for that. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that people realize that I am just as human as they are. And that they love me enough that they're willing to accept my flaws and help me to get past those mistakes that I make. I'm thankful for heroes. And we have a lot of heroes in this world. Men and women that I consider heroes, at least. I'm thankful for those that daily put themselves behind the needs of others. For policemen, for firefighters, for volunteers, for soldiers. I'm thankful that their efforts remind me that there's still a lot of good in this world. That there are still a lot of people out there that want to help and to serve others. People that will put themselves in harm's way and put their needs second. Or third, in order that others' lives might be benefited. You hear a lot of bad news on the news. And it's gotten to the point to where I can barely stand to watch a news program. But every once in a while you'll hear a story about someone that's gone out of their way to do something nice or sacrifice for someone else. And your thoughts are probably the same as mine. It's so refreshing to hear some good news for a change. There's still a lot of good folks out there. Sometimes we just have to look for it. I'm thankful for heroes in my own life. For members of my family that I've looked up to. Since the time I was just a little kid. Since I wrote this lesson many years ago, some of those have passed on. But I still have some. And I love them and I appreciate them. Men like my Uncle Phil down in Texas. Women like my Aunt Dorothy back in Springfield. Now, none of y'all have ever met my Aunt Dorothy. 82 years old. She thinks she's 30. She goes all the time, volunteers all the time. No one's a stranger. Has the best attitude of just about anybody I know. She's forgiving. She's loving. She's kind. She's resourceful. She's a hero. She's an example to me. And I can't help but think that you all have someone like that in your own lives as well. But I'm thankful for spiritual heroes too. I'm thankful for Hebrews chapter 11 that gives us a list of individuals that put themselves behind the needs of others and gave themselves in order that other spiritual lives could be improved. Men like Stephen, the apostles, Cornelius, Stephen in Corinth, and countless others that are mentioned in the salutations of the apostolic writers. Men and women that we would do well to emulate. And to think about what they did for others and what they did ultimately for the church. I'm thankful for spiritual heroes of today. For elders, for deacons, for evangelists. You know, when I got this lesson up years ago, men like Ronnie Wade and Barty Owens and Johnny Elmore and Linwood Smith were on this list. Men that we've sat and heard preached and talked with and visited with on the phone, they're gone. But their influence lives on. And we have a lot of good men and women in the church still left today that are still doing a lot of good things. And to me, they are spiritual heroes. But I'm also thankful for my heroes of tomorrow. I'm thankful for the young people that we have in this congregation. These intelligent, bright, positive young people. The young parents that are doing their best to raise their children in the way that they should. The kids that are growing up in the church. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my friends. I have friends out of the church. You have friends out of the church. I'm thankful for those friends. Friends to whom hopefully I can be a good example. Friends that enrich my life, that teach me, that encourage me. And I'm thankful for friends within the church. There's a lot to say on this. I'm certainly not going to say it all. But I'm thankful for the brotherhood. I'm thankful for folks within the church, again, that can forgive me, that can encourage me, that can correct me, that can teach me. Friends with which I hope to spend an eternity. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Bible. Its power, its depth, its timelessness, its wisdom, its encouragement, its correction. A book that regardless how many times it is read, how many times it's studied, how many times it's contemplated, how many times upon which it is meditated, it never loses its newness. It never loses its power. It never loses its effect. And for thousands of years now, these scriptures, both Old and New Testament, continue to ring out the truths of God, to teach us the personality of God, to direct us in the doctrines of God, and to lead us in the way that we should go. There are a lot of good books out there, no doubt. You go to your local Barnes and Noble, you go to your local public library, there are going to be rows and rows of books on self-help and all these other various aspects of life. And there's some good information in them, but there's no book ever written, nor will there ever be, that is as powerful and applicable and timeless as the Scriptures. And for the Bible, I am very thankful. I'm thankful for hope. The hope that I have in Christ. I'm thankful for the ability to reflect. And it's something that I believe the Bible teaches that each and every one of us should be engaged in every single day is that personal reflection. Why? A number of reasons. Life can get us down. Things can happen. We get sidetracked. We get swept up in things. Our attention gets drawn to other things. And we kind of lose place on who we are and where we are. So we need to pause and reflect. We can get upset about things that maybe not necessarily are going our way or the way that we feel like we should go. And we lose sight of the fact that we have all these many other blessings upon which we can depend and for which we can be thankful. And so thankfulness needs to be renewed each and every day. And thus the Hebrew writer would say, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And I guess most of all, and I mentioned this before, but I feel like it's the best way to close this lesson. I'm thankful for salvation that's found in Christ. So the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. There's probably not a person in this audience that doesn't have a lot to be thankful for. But I don't know if everybody in this audience can be thankful at this time for acceptance of that unspeakable gift. If you've not obeyed the gospel, why not do so this morning? You've heard the word taught. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess His name before men and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Or if you've done that and you've strayed away and you've lost the attitude of thankfulness, why not make things right this morning while we stand and sing?